Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Bursting forth a glorious day, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It'll be another Manchester derby in the FA Cup final. Nottingham Forest are furious once again. It's Monday, 22nd of April. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Hello, everybody. It's Monday. Oh, and Pete's rubbing his pecs already.
I am. I've had a good weekend and I'm really excited for what the week will bring, including a big announcement.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's get down to it then, everybody. Pete is right. We have a humongous announcement to kick off the show today. The Football Ramble is returning to the stage!
Yes, we've seen out our lengthy prison sentences and we're allowed back on stage.
My goodness. On Friday, September the 20th, 2024, we're playing at the London Palladium and you can join us. For one night only, we present Football Ramble Time Tunnel, a journey through the most outrageous and hilarious moments in football across the last 17 years of the Ramble. Expect all your Ramble favourites, loads of laughs, and plenty of surprises too. Tickets go on general sale this Friday, 26th of April. So you've got to act fast. You can find yours at footballramblelive.com. That's footballramblelive.com. But if you want to get ahead of the rush, we will be releasing pre-sale tickets exclusively for our Ramble Patreon subscribers on Wednesday and subscribers to our new mailing list, the team sheet, the day after on Thursday. Links to join both are in the show notes. You'll get the link for your ticket straight into your email inbox. So that's footballramblelive.com for general sale this Friday, pre-sale tickets through our mailing list on Thursday, or to be at the very front of the queue, pre-sale for our Patreon subscribers on Wednesday. We are so excited for this show. We hope you are too. It's going to be over 2,000 Ramble listeners, plus Pete Donaldson, all in one room. So join us for Football Ramble Time Tunnel on Friday, 20th of September, 2024 at the London Palladium, and get your tickets at footballramblelive.com as soon as you can. Trust us, it's going to be an incredible way to open the weekend.
Friday night at the Palladium.
Yes.
Come on.
Jim Campbell, are you going to be fully clothed or will they have to find out on the night?
I suspect I will not be fully clothed. A few more.
It's going to be like Magic Mike in the West End.
Yeah, we've got a lot of work to do on our bodies.
Not for me. Yeah. I'm just going to eat pills I find in boots.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we thought about, should we do this in May? No. No, it is going to be September.
We're all gonna be
this
tanned.
Year.
Yeah. We're going to be tanned, we're going to be oiled, and we're going to be primed and ready to give you the best show of your goddamn lives.
We have Tragic Mike at the Palladium.
We have certain guarantees on the bar, Spence, so do come along. We need you in force and in numbers.
Indeed.
It's a Friday night.
Yeah,
it's going to be brilliant.
Yeah. Let the lemonades flow.
And there will be a meat raffle too.
Well, of sorts, Jim, but that's where you and your clothes come in. So let's, gentlemen, continue the excitement, of course, and talk about our highlights of the weekend. Jim Campbell, kick us off.
My very simple highlight. Jamie Vardy scored what turned out to be the decisive goal against West Brom. At the end of the game, he points to the pitch and he's mouthing, "You're staying down, you're staying down," at the West Brom fans, because that is who he is. Yeah. And I love him for it. Such a dick.
Scumbag. Skinny scumbag.
You know when people say like they mellow when they age?
Yeah.
No. Like he's not, ramping it up.
Yeah, it's maturing in a different way.
It's like when cheese gets old, it gets harder.
Exactly. Pete Donaldson.
Jesse Lingard's knee operation was a success.
Okay.
And he's in bed like about 2 days ago, 3 days ago. Mm. And now he's just running around.
Yeah. Wow.
Like knee operations are great, aren't they, these days?
Most people go to bed every day though, Pete.
What do you mean?
So he might just have been in bed. I know you don't always.
Oh,
go to bed,
right.
But
I'm going to go all the way through again.
I like to see those friendly spots if I don't sleep. I just like seeing those friendly spots.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So Jesse Lingard's
Jesse Lingard's surgery being a success. I want to see him back on the pitch for FC. So I want him to get him absolutely taken down a peg or two by his manager again.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
I wanted the opportunity to fail again so his manager gets upset.
I want him to start playing well so he strikes up the band again and all that kind of stuff. It'd be glorious. My highlight of the weekend was when the Coventry goal was disallowed because I just love justice. And justice was done.
Marcus.
And without justice, where are we, quite frankly,
Marcus,
in a modern democracy?
The red and the blue line were so close together, it was fucking purple. That's how close it was.
Hey,
you're a disgrace.
Anyway, let's go there now. Coventry City 3, Manchester United 3.
Coventry. You remember that bloke, that old boy who had like a bit of a career and then just absolutely like his whole world was blown up by Wales's
Richard Keys?
By things he'd said on a hot mic. That bloke who sings, I forget his name, but he sings "We're Still Here," the Wales anthem.
He's like a folk singer
who's been around since the 70s.
Okay.
Being
Tom Jones?
Around and he'll just like and he's basically the poster boy for Wales's recent success in football. And he may as well be singing about Coventry because no matter what happens to them, they're always there or they're about just achieving little victories here and there. And this is a little victory, I think, for them. I thought they were blooming brilliant.
It's a moral victory.
It is a moral. Well, it's an immoral victory.
Well, for Manchester United.
For Manchester United.
I mean, I was... It's just... like, I can't stress enough, right, everybody, because, Manchester United go through 4-2 on penalties after being 3-0 up and Coventry pegging back 3-all. I cannot stress enough how important it is for all of us neutrals that Erik ten Hag keeps that job. We've all got to support Manchester United in the final because if they win the cup, there's more chance of him staying. It's got to happen, Jim. Manchester United this season have been so entertaining.
They have.
We've loved them. And again, what's good for the ramble is not good for your club usually. But my goodness, you cannot take your eyes off them.
Has anyone else in history reached the FA Cup final with an embarrassment? so weird.
The only thing that leapt to mind that was like mildly similar was when Arsenal beat Wigan on penalties in the semi-final, when Arsenal were obviously heavy favourites. Mm.
Kim Kjellström scored in the in the shootout.
Fans. Yeah, he made a contribution.
Signed with a broken back. Still made a contribution.
I loved her in Sex and the City.
Arsenal again playing a side who they...
Should put away fairly easily. They weren't 3-0 up.
But the comparisons quickly stop.
You're being 4-0 up, mate.
But again, in that Arsenal example, it's a case of, oh my God, we nearly got embarrassed. Mm-hmm. Whereas Manchester United did get embarrassed.
It's quite a gift, really, isn't it?
In the first half, I was thinking, like, it's good to have seen Man United find a level they're comfortable at. Yeah, and then they can't even see that through.
That's what I mean. Like, there's how many 3-alls have they been in or high scoring draws? And they are absolutely brilliant to watch this.
They really are.
You know, racing into a 3-0 lead, of course, after 58 minutes. And
they looked so comfortable. It wasn't like they were sort of peppering Coventry with shots in the first half, was it? I think the goals were the only shots on target, I believe. But they looked really, really comfortable. Mm. There was no sense that this was going to happen from that first period.
Mm. Mm. And, when the third goal goes in, bearing in mind there's only over half an hour to go, the commentator says, well, Manchester United will be on their way back to Wembley for the final, of course he was right.
Didn't their social media team say something before the match had even kicked off? Like, they said that Manchester City will be joining Manchester United in the final.
I mean, again, they were right. Annoyingly, they were right. Have they not learned, though, from Barcelona against Munich? Manchester United against Munich in Barcelona against Bayern, you know, when it was, you know, name on the trophy and the Bayern fans were saying, you got to learn.
You do.
From other people's mistakes, but they didn't. And because when Coventry made it 3-1, it was surprising. Was it surprising? It was noticeable how that galvanised everybody in Coventry. Like, it really was galvanised. Because I think, mate, you know, they'll be aware of how dodgy Manchester United are. You get 3-1, you've still got 20 minutes or whatever it is to play. Mm. They really suddenly were like, right, well, no, we can do this.
Yeah.
We can bloody well do this. Because if that's against Manchester City, for example, and they get 3-1, they'll think, well, we scored, it's consolation.
Yeah, definitely. But I think, as we've seen with Man United, you sort of know you're going to get chances against them. In that first half, they're thinking, oh, they're all going to come in the second half. Because there's no way they're not happening.
Yeah.
Wright wasn't limping to score that goal as well for the draw.
I mean, I guess they got a little bit lucky with the deflection on the second one, but you've got to be having the shots in the first place, right? And there is this mad sense that United are never quite secure at the moment. Yeah.
Well, Bruno Fernandes, I mean, his was deflected as well. I mean, obviously, it was...
Sure.
He hit the bar, didn't he? That could have been...
But, I mean, when you know, Wright steps up to take that penalty, the absolute stones you got to do, because if you miss that penalty, you've got a bit more infamy. I don't think the fans would think of it like that, say, but there's so much on the line. But of course, you've got a shot at glory, haven't you? And he puts it away, and just absolute pandemonium. And then they have chances. In extra time. It's not like it wasn't just a case of VAR.
The Ellis Sims one where he hits the bar. That's the one where he's done everything right there.
Yeah.
He just, like...
It was just
gutting.
It's just all up for grabs. It does not matter that one side have spent considerably more on their team. It's one of those glorious... It's a huge FA Cup tie at Wembley. The sun is creeping through. And it's like a school match or something.
It's a momentum thing, isn't it? Yeah. Much like a school match, as you say. It's like the wind was in Coventry's sails. They seem to have more energy. And I think there was a sense, and you often get this when there's a mismatch like this, that you know that the bigger team are always going to win on penalties. It seems to play so often.
I know what you mean.
Particularly with a team from another division. Mm-hmm. So I think that there was probably a sense that, like, look, we're making chances here. We have to capitalise on this and score now. And they came so close. The offside was gutting. gutting.
I think that's one of the most, from a neutral, universal point of view.
Situation, time... Yeah. The speed in which it was
the
done.
Celebrations and also, and to be honest, that we
the,
were
the speed in which the VAR was actually decided as well.
Yeah,
yeah,
was interesting.
But that is one of the most gutting things I think I've ever seen in football.
So when I saw the replay of it, I thought, oh yeah, he's miles off. But then when you see the lines on the actual point where the ball is played, it's so tight. If I'm completely honest, I can't see that is offside from that still.
Right. I mean, the thing, obviously, with the
lines, we need smaller lines. We need higher resolution lines, guys.
We need more accurate lines. the thing is with VAR, Mark Robbins said after the game, I mean, he's a toenail offside, but, you know, it is what it is. Mm. Which I thought actually was fair comment from him, because, it's done, and he is, like, it is what it is. I mean, the thing is with offsides, I don't want to get into VAR too much here, but... I think when VAR was introduced and the offsides were being given, I was like, well, that's just ridiculous. That's just ridiculous. Because normally it was like, oh, is there daylight, you know, space between the two?
Well, clubs wanted it, don't they? They all voted for it to stay that way fairly recently.
But whatever you decide, there's going to be a line.
Yeah. Well, Lee Dixon said, just give him the benefit of the doubt.
Lee, unhelpful.
He hates football.
That's why he'd never be a traffic cop.
No. You know.
But, you know, it's wherever you're moaning about where the line is, there will always be. There has to be a line.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so. It's
look, just gutting though.
Oh,
just
what
gutting.
I want
quantum offsides.
Exactly.
It can be offside and also offside.
I'll be honest with you, Peter. I want corrupt officiating in moments like that.
Just go with the general. Come on, do this
for the wider public.
Vibe.
Here.
There should be a vibe man in the tactics.
What's the vibe? Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I think you've got to give it.
Yeah, it's all razzle-dazzle at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's it. You need, if you can quantify that there is both razzle and dazzle.
Yeah.
If the vibe man can conclusively demonstrate
if there's
that,
a part of the body that could produce razzle is in play, you're allowed to play on.
And then it goes to penalties. And, of course, the psychology of that. Yeah, you thought you'd won it and then you have to go and do it again. But then Casemiro thinks, do you know what, lads? I'll throw you a little bone here. Bob does it almost like a Bernardo Silva.
There was still a sense to me that Man United would end up winning it.
I know what you mean.
It's just that experience and the quality of the penalty takers that they've got.
Yeah.
Eriksen looks so old now. What's happened to
him? But also, his penalty was so authoritative, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was kind of like, I'm a grown-up, I'm better than this level, I'm going to put it away.
This isn't actually that hard when you're as good at this as I am. it was just absolutely gutting. For a moment, I thought Mark Robbins might get a Man United manager sacked as well as a saved one, which would have been quite the CV.
Jamie Carragher certainly thinks he will be sacked after that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's quite damning, isn't it? Even though they managed to get through.
Mm.
Why would you do it? What are you going to do? What different situation are you going to get out of these players? They just need to get rid of. There's no hierarchy there on the field. There's just no sense that anyone knows what they're doing. Yeah. No senior players worth looking up to. It's a real state there. And I mean, pushing McTominay up to do all of your attacking is just. I mean, that's just insane. But maybe Erik ten Hag just feels like it's his only option.
Peter, it's brilliant, is what it
it's
is.
Brilliant.
Like, I can't stress
brilliant.
Enough how I'm enjoying
it
Man United
brilliant.
At the moment. Yeah. Ten Hag did say after the game, it's not an embarrassment.
It's not an embarrassment. I'm not shat my keks.
I don't see that word. It's a huge achievement.
Yeah.
I mean, on paper.
He's not wrong, is he? But still.
Well,
he,
I mean, he's
is.
A bit, he's a bit wrong, isn't he? A decade ago.
I wish there was a breathalyzer for lies.
a big Manchester United team a decade ago only achieved the final three times. We do it twice in 2 years. In among all this.
Yeah, it's a golden age, isn't it?
Truly is. In among. I mean, Manchester City will be concerned. But in among all this, when Højlund scores the winning penalty, he rightly goes over and celebrates with his fans. Absolutely no problem with that. I think it was only Eriksen, actually, who joined him in the celebration. The rest of the Manchester United team turned to the Coventry City players and were like, sorry about that.
Yeah.
We are happy with through, but like, you know, we wouldn't have begrudged it if you went through. Also, though, in among all that, Anthony cupped his ears in the direction of the Coventry players when Højlund scored the winning penalty.
It's solid work, isn't it?
It takes some doing to be a bigger pillock than Mark Clattenburg this weekend. But he's streaked ahead there.
It
says so much about his character, doesn't it? It's
just such it, he came on
abysmal.
When it, I think he came on when it was 3-0 or 3-1.
They don't call him something, they call him finishers. And he finished that match.
He did finish that match eventually.
Bearing in mind, he must feel so secure though because he was Ten Hag signing.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a bit of that mixed into that.
Maybe. He's the king's son, but the kingdom is crumbling. Well, Harry Maguire said, we showed great character to stick with it. Stick with what?
Stick with it? Stick with it. What are you going to leave the field because you're bored? You may as well have done.
I mean, Harry, like, another couple of minutes, you'd have lost the game 4-3. Yeah.
Harry Maguire attempted a lovely kind of outside, I think it was outside of the foot, kind of chip over the keeper sort of thing. I mean, he got nowhere near it. I presume that's what he was trying to do.
Hey, he scored a lovely goal though, Peter.
He did score a lovely goal.
Yeah, so get off his back.
Get off his back, his large back.
Yeah, just incredible. Nice to see Sir Jim Ratcliffe at Wembley though, at the start of the second half, having just completed the London Marathon, no less.
What was more tiring? The marathon or the game?
Yeah, true. Well, he was sat next to Avram Glazer, that skulleted fiend, of course.
Yeah. I don't think it's a skullet. It's more like a tuft at the back. You know, like, what's the fin that you put at the back of a car? Is that a spoiler? No.
A spoiler.
Is it a spoiler? Yeah.
That is a spoiler.
It's a head spoiler, isn't it?
I don't know if it spoils it. I think it makes it.
I mean, that match was a head spoiler, wasn't it? A lot of Man United fans.
What's that you got there? Whatever you do, keep my spoiler. Can you? I need
keep
my spoiler.
Keep my
trimmed.
Spoiler. Keep my head spoiler.
Does that mean he could do like headers really quick? It helps him being a bit more dynamic. I don't know.
There was a quite enjoyable thing that kept happening in the commentary. Where, you know, Sam Matterface will sometimes come up with a line and he'll be so pleased with himself he keeps using it.
Right.
He kept saying, Victor Torp with a torpedo. It's like, that sounds like it's a pun on two different things there. Yeah. Sam, one of which sounds really actionable. Yeah.
Yes.
One you could use on Andre Torre Andre Flo, presumably. Torpedo.
I see.
Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
We'd like to state for the record that Torre Andre Flo is not a paedophile.
To our knowledge. Oh dear. He could have said, you know, Wembley should be now named Torp Park.
He could have said that, yeah.
Thorpe Park, Torp
but he didn't
Park.
Think of
Torp
it.
Park.
Yeah, I was just
Park Ji-sung.
Where you went there?
I'm confused. I'm lost.
Yeah, well, this is what Matterface might
lost.
Do to
I'm
you.
In a maze. I'm in a Matterface maze.
He twists us up and spits us out. Mark Robbins, I thought, was quite remarkably calm throughout the whole thing.
Mm.
At times. I mean, maybe he wasn't at other times, but like when
he's got bigger stuff to worry about.
Yeah. He's
the whole time he's just thinking, be nice to the ball boys. Be nice to the ball boys.
Well, when Man United scored the third, he sort of turned round and he gave like the little hoardings next to the dugout just a little tap on the top. Mm. Don't.
Yeah.
And then when Coventry score, you know, you see him. He's sort of still fairly calm. And then after the match, again, his comments were fairly level headed. He said, "We just said to the players that they've put themselves right up there in the history of the football club. People will talk about this game for a long time." And he's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Well, he scored. For Sir Alex Ferguson, didn't he?
He did score for Manchester United, famously.
Yeah, famously.
Kept him in the job.
Yeah, so
that's the story,
maybe
isn't
he
it?
Feels like he's...
From that moment, he felt my work here is done and the rest of his life is just a bonus. Not a bonus as in, you know, you're on easy street kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, well, maybe that's it.
It does feel to me like the final is going to be Man United sort of being called into the headmaster's office to explain all this. I don't think City are going to be too worried about it.
A big punishment is coming their way. Yeah, well, Manchester City obviously beat Chelsea 1-0. And again, Chelsea will rue missed chances at Wembley. I mean, this on another weekend, it seems mad to say this, but on another weekend, it could have been Chelsea Coventry in the final.
Honestly, I do think that if Pochettino sticks around, he could get this right. They've got so many good young players and they've made so many chances. They missed so many. Like they put themselves in a position where they could have really laid a glove on Man City. And you know the goal was scored really, really late in the game. It was a real shame. But they just don't like Wembley, do they?
But true. They've now failed to score in five of their last six trips to Wembley. Mm.
They've not lost the game, certainly in the Premier League, since the 4th of February. So they are sort of slowly turning things around. They've had a few sort of silly draws that you have expected them to win. But I think Pete's right. I think Chelsea fans are looking at that performance. Obviously, they're going to be disappointed to go out. But they were good. They gave a good account of themselves. And if Nicholas Jackson in particular hadn't been so profligate, it might have been a very, very different story. And I think that there's a lot of those players there. We've all been talking about like how mad it is to sign that many players at once. But there are quite a few of them are starting to stand out as players that you think might be something for the future there.
Well, do you remember when Jackson said, what was it, I think a couple of months ago, that he watches back videos of his missed chances?
Yes.
Stop doing that.
Sort of negative reinforcement for bed.
I think he said, I like to see what I could do better and so on. I think he needs a new tactic.
Watch the goals.
Yeah.
I mean, because like there's a player in there. And I mean, his pace is incredible. Dare I suggest he outpaced Kyle Walker at one moment? Certainly kept up. You know, like the guy's got the attributes and something to be there.
I think there's definitely a very good player in there. I don't know if he's going to be prolific for them, but I think he might be a sort of an effective player. Certainly,
yeah. They need to score and help out Cole Palmer in that department because, as you say, like they played well. They really took the game to Manchester City, and they will be gutted. I mean, they should have won the League Cup final.
Yeah.
No, we should be here saying, you know, Chelsea have won one trophy and they're in the FA Cup final against whoever, you know, Manchester United, against the side that they can get at, which, you know, it's all ifs and buts, of course, but it would have been a very good season. So I know what you mean, Pete, when you think there are some green shoots here with Pochettino in charge. Mind you, having said all that, I felt they should have had a penalty.
Yeah.
With Jack Grealish's handball and Cole Palmer hits that free. I was very surprised that wasn't even... Well, the VAR looks at everything, we should say.
Yeah, because it was given as a goal kick, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Which makes no sense.
Well, it's either... I mean, so the referee can then argue, or presumably the referee thinks, you know, it didn't hit anybody. It's one of those, Jim, you know, annoyingly. But yeah, I thought it was a penalty. It wasn't given, though. And then at full time, though, the aforementioned Jack Grealish was seen having a joke and a laugh. Not that I think Manchester City players were bothered or fans were bothered by that, but Chelsea fans seemed to be bothered that Noni Madueke was involved as well, while Thiago Silva was crying. It was like this beautiful.
It was unnecessary. I think looking at one man's doing crying and then behind somebody just titting about. But it's just like
they were probably mates before. You know.
Well, yeah. I mean, they are. I mean, if they weren't, I don't care. I just don't care.
He should have punched Grealish. We're not mates at the moment.
Any normal football supporter should not give a flying fuck what people do once the whistle's gone. I find this very tiresome and destructive. I don't like it at all.
Also, no. I think I could be...
Lee Clark wants to wear that T-shirt, he can.
I could be in the vets... Yeah. Having to put my dog down.
Yeah.
And if Jack Grealish was in there, I'd smile when I was talking to him. Yeah, I couldn't help myself.
Exactly.
Jack Grealish.
He'd be getting his worm and tablets, wouldn't he? He's as daft as a dog.
Yeah. What if Jack Grealish booted your dog and went, there you go, I'll put it out his misery.
Yeah.
Would you be smiling then, Jim?
We've got this new technique. It's actually quicker and more humane than the lethal injection. It's Jack Grealish. Massive cars. It's just going to absolutely stomp on your dog's head. But we will light a little candle in reception for it.
Again, though, Jack Grealish does not stamp on dogs' heads.
Right, yeah. Hashtag parody.
Now, Pep Guardiola wasn't happy, was he? He went after the football authorities after the match finished when he spoke to the BBC. He said Manchester City shouldn't have to be playing that game less than 72 hours after facing Real Madrid on Wednesday night. It is unacceptable to let us play today. It is impossible for the health of the players. It is not normal. I think he has a reasonable point.
In this round of fixtures in particular, I mean,
yeah.
I'm not sure what the reason for it was. Is it like Wembley scheduling or something like that? Or probably a TV thing, I don't know. But yeah, it surely makes sense to give the players as much of a rest as possible where possible.
I just look forward to Pep Guardiola, when he's there next season, opting out of whatever crazy tour they're doing at the start of the season. Yeah. I think they're doing the USA, did Hong Kong and Japan last year, the World Club Cup, the precursor of the 2025 World Cup, and also the Champions League, the extended Champions League. So you could opt out of all these things, couldn't you, Pebbles? Do.
Yeah, but at least you've not got your replays in the early rounds of the FA Cup.
Little Papa Pebbles. Well, it was a real fucking circle jerk for me. It was Gary Lineker, Mika, and
Alan Shearer.
And as soon as Pep Guardiola used Gary's first name, Gary was on the giggle bus. He was just starting to giggle. He's going to use my name. Alan Shearer, quite rightly, says, oh, just rotate. You've got more resources than anybody else in the football pyramid. Just rotate.
Well, sure, but
he's talking about the health of players, though, isn't he? And that you're not going to rotate an entire team.
Why not? They're the one team that can do it.
Well, okay, Peter. Let's years to come when Newcastle are in this position, we'll just keep an eye on this opinion.
Please do.
Pete Dunne's integrity tracker.
Yeah. Exactly. That odometer has been spun back so many times,
Jim.
What,
there's a lot of squiggly lines on that. None of that straight VAR offside business there.
Checking my record, I said a wind back.
All right, everybody. Coming up in the second half, we've got the controversy at Goodison Park. We've got an incredible Crystal Palace performance and Joe Hart the hero. See you in a moment.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door.
Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Involved in a few of the penalty shouts, I think three of the four. How many of them do you think were right and were wrong?
All of them were right.
Even the last one. I mean, look, most are saying that the one on Callum Hudson-Odoi, you're sure that you got a touch on the ball, that was the right decision?
None of them were given, were they?
But come on, what's that face saying?
It's saying none of them were given.
Outrageous.
He delivers that with his tight-lipped kind of smile, like, yep. he's trying to keep bird poo in his mouth. It's so good. The way he just sort of goes, well, that, I didn't see any referee intervention on that one.
That was obviously Ashley Young there after the Forest game. thanks to friend of the Ramble, Ashley. I assume...
Probably Ashley Young.
Yeah, I assume so. For sending us that clip, you can become a friend of the Ramble too by heading over to patreon.com/footballramble. You'll get access to the Discord where you can chat with us and other Ramble listeners. You'll get ad-free episodes of The Ramble up front and on the Continent Plus. You'll get early access to those live show tickets, of course. So get in. Evolved.
It's going to be like Taylor Swift. These tickets are going to be like hens her teeth.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
And in the way that our listeners are going to be really horrible to you online.
Gentlemen, before we go to that match at Goodison Park, quick trip north of the border to keep a little tab on Joe Hart.
How's he getting in before the Forest match? Outrageous.
Well, I just wanted to say that the former England number one was nearly the villain, but became the hero for Celtic in the penalty competition, against Aberdeen in the semi-final of the Scottish Cup.
Another amazing three-all.
I hate it when footballers take penalties and they screw it. They screw it against the post. He took it like a goal kick. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was nearly a beauty.
It was nearly a beauty.
But you don't want nearly.
It was a miss.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so he had the chance to win the shootout with the fifth spot kick. Now, he has taken a penalty in a shootout before.
Big time, that.
It is Cristiano Ronaldo-esque.
Yeah. How has brother Brendy let him do that?
Oh, we know. Because Joe Hart showed him, look what I did before. I think it was for the England under-21s.
Right.
In the Euro under-21s semi-final.
Lot of road between that and this.
A lot of road, yeah. He may well have taken one since then, although I'm not sure. Maybe he has. He's obviously very confident. And he hit it.
Look, I'm just astonished at you sort of rifling through the folders of your brain for Joe Hart penalties.
Yeah, well, I mean, there can't be that many to pick out.
From an under 21 tournament.
Yeah,
presumably 20 years ago. It's good stuff.
2009, if my memory serves me correctly.
Feels like 20 years ago.
Good Lord. Was it earlier? Who knows?
Monster.
The internet knows. Monster. So he fails to score. Aberdeen are back in it. So Joe thinks, you know what, I better save this one. And he did. Although he did, again, it was classic Joe Hart. Because he saves that penalty to go through and he's a bit like, all right, sorry.
Yeah. Hey, look, I've fallen short of the standard. Exactly. I've set myself.
Oh, I shouldn't have had to have done that. So there we are. It's a great shame, though, that Aberdeen are not going to be in the final, because Neil Warnock did say that he'd go and watch them in the final.
Yeah. Would he have got a medal for his part in it?
Maybe.
Maybe he would, yeah.
But he won't now.
Don't know what the rules are.
It'd have been brilliant, wouldn't it, if he'd come onto the pitch and lifted the cup?
It would have genuinely been up there.
Salt Bay-esque. Marcus gets a medal for knowing so much about Joe Hart's under-21
career. Have you just checked that, by the way?
No.
Oh, I thought you were okay.
No, I was trying to remember /Google what song Brian Wilson was obsessed with, in the same way that you're obsessed with England. He was obsessed with the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and it destroyed his mind. And he's just trying to... He spent most of his career just trying to make music as good as the Ronettes' Be My Baby, because he thinks it's the best song in the world. It's an illness, and I think you you perpetrate the same... Yeah. You exhibit the same kind of guff as that.
I call it fever.
It's England fever, baby.
Oh, dear. Celtic will play Rangers in the Scottish Cup final. Who would have thought?
Wow.
Who would have thought?
Wow.
Right, back to the Premier League, everybody. Everton 2, Nottingham Forest 0. Big win for Sean Dyche's men.
Yeah. Like, look at that. Everton 2, Nottingham Forest 0.
Nothing more to add.
Like, exactly. Like, it just looks like such a kind of, like, routine, one team beat the other one 2-0. But there's so many stories that come out of this.
I watched the game. It was really boring. Like, I'm sort of quite grateful to Forest for stepping up and providing the entertainment post-match.
Yeah. Well, indeed, yeah. 5 minutes after the full-time whistle, Nottingham Forest released the following statement. Three extremely poor decisions, three penalties not given, which we simply cannot accept. Well, you're going to have to. We warned the Pugmole that the VAR is a Luton fan before the game, and they didn't change him. Our patience has been tested multiple times. NFFC will now consider its options.
Yeah, I mean...
You've not got any options.
That's Maranakis, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
I'm deadly serious.
With a ghostwriter.
That's a folded text. Just get this up. Get this up right now.
Five minutes after the final. And the funny thing is, though, that all this chat about the VAR being a Luton fan, it's been now reported that Mark Clattenburg spoke to Pugmole before the game, and it was raised that he was a Luton fan, and it was just like, that's not important, don't worry about it. And even Nuno Espirito Santo said after the game, he went, that's just not important.
Yeah, and Mark Clattenburg, had an article out in the Daily Mail yesterday after the game, sort of like really going in hard on all this stuff. Like, that he's a prat. Like, he really is. He's such a dickhead.
What makes you think that?
Everything about him. Like, but he has really stepped up into the sort of main character, look at me vacuum left by Mike Dean, hasn't he? And,
like, but he's not even a ref. He's not even on the
pitch. Exactly. It makes it all the more ridiculous, really.
I still like him.
So someone somewhere is lying because,
he's not the VAR is not a Luton fan. He's a Ramble fan because we've had a lovely time.
Oh yeah, again, yeah.
And everyone's been sort of saying this euphemistic kind of Forest admin, this kind of like dark force.
Yeah, they love it. Don't
Forest
they?
Admin. But he's a Forest admin in the same way Jair Bolsonaro is the Forest admin. He burns it down.
Yeah,
burn it down.
He blamed that on Leonardo DiCaprio, didn't he, Bolsonaro?
He did,
remember that?
I mean,
said Leonardo DiCaprio was paying people to burn down sections of the Amazon.
Yeah.
Was he really?
No.
Where's my money? I'd do it.
Yeah. I mean, regrettably, we've got this post-truth world, and it seems to be in the Premier League as well.
Yeah.
And now
that's true. It's getting worse and worse.
But if you went like 20 years ago and you heard the sentence, we warned that Pugmole... that the VAR is a Luton fan. It's like, what is happening here?
The word warn comes up a few times because in the Daily Mail article that Clattenburg wrote, he said, you will have seen the statement released by the club, how the PGMOL were contacted to warn that it was not appropriate for a Luton fan such as Atwell to play such a pivotal role in a massive match that would impact the relegation race. It's like, you don't dictate to them.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's amazing. It's an astonishing position.
Storm St. George's Park.
Yeah. Kelvin Bennett. The only option you have is to just file a complaint.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only option you have. You can complain.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. I'm not. No one would sort of question that. But this idea of, well, we're going to find out the truth and our options. It's like the game's not going to be replayed.
Yeah.
It's just it is. It
and
is.
Firstly, the result doesn't necessarily benefit Luton.
Well, that's what a lot of people say. Draw would have been a better result.
Yeah, a weird one there. But also, you know, surely we have to put our faith in these people to be able to be objective. Mm. If you kind of put it into law that such and such is a fan of X club, so can't officiate on Y club, it suggests that they're crooked.
Well, Jim, I'm not.
You can't codify that.
I personally won't be happy until Donald Trump, Boris Johnson and Liz Truss are refereeing in the Premier League.
I would very much like them to slap a £10 million fine which takes them over FFP. I think that would be delicious.
And we're going to decide how many points you get deducted 5 minutes after the final whistle on the final day. we must talk about the game because...
No, I want to talk about Nuno Espirito Santo stood outside having a tab.
Yeah, well...
Stood outside Goodison Park having a cigarette, looking like Ben Affleck with his cups of coffee. He's just having a... He looks absolutely destroyed. It's having a cigarette in his full kit. Just
on.
Put that on a tee for. I love it. I absolutely love that.
Oh, I mean,
that could galvanise. That's the sort of image you would galvanise the players.
I mean, it is glorious.
It's just him having a crack. It's not even crafty. I'm just going, I don't care who sees me.
Yeah.
Apparently
that photo was taken 8 hours after the game. The next morning.
It looks like he's just done something really bad in a lockup. that no one knows he owns.
I can't believe I've just done that.
Yeah, I am going to have to move away from my family. No one will see me again. But I suppose I'm financially secure. The game itself, like, I understand why Forest were furious, by the way. And if there are any Forest fans who are listening, or anybody listening who are kind of annoyed at what we're saying, we can have the opinion that their response is wrong and idiotic, and also have the opinion of, but they were right to aggrieved by some of those decisions. Yeah.
And Forest have been on the end of some really bad decisions this season as well. I completely understand that.
Used to be the good guy, didn't they? Used to be the good guys.
Who are the good guys?
Pugmol, isn't it?
I thought it was us.
That's why. Well, it's us, and that's why we're going to be staging a mock execution of Pugmol at the live show. I'm creating the hangman's noose as we speak.
Okay. And we Mark Clattenburg isn't replying to our calls.
No, he won't get involved.
Indeed, yeah. But there were three penalty appeals, Jim.
Yeah, I think the third one is absolutely Stonewall.
The third one in particular.
The third one was ridiculous. Yeah. And I think actually that's probably where this has come from, because the other two... Like, the first one is definitely in the sort of seen them given category.
Yeah, first one is, I can definitely...
I understand why they're aggrieved with that, for sure.
Yep.
I think Everton will feel a bit lucky to get away with it. It's one where, you know, it is on that line where it's almost down to the taste of the referees in that sort of thing, isn't it? The second one, at first, I thought, oh, that is a handball, but I do understand people saying it's so close to his body that there's not really much else he can do. But, you know... Everton do gain an advantage from it hitting his hand, which I know isn't necessarily in the rules, but is in the sort of, you know, the moral interpretation of whether something or not is a penalty, I suppose. But
yeah, I mean, we mentioned the Jack Grealish one earlier for Manchester City. I mean, maybe the argument was he actually tries to bring his hand in towards his body. Yeah. But in doing that, that's where he actually touches the ball. So
he's squeezing the accordion.
Only indeed he is, but only he would know. I mean, or in fact, maybe he wouldn't know. But anyway, we've talked about that. So we're all agreed, I think everyone would be agreed, there's at least one, and by the law of averages, probably two penalties in there, you would think, but they should have been given something. I mean, that third one is a shocker.
If this game had ended 3-2 because Forest had three penalties, we'd be talking about how rare it is that teams get three penalties.
But I mean, the rarity of it, if it's a penalty, it's a penalty, and if it's six penalties, then they should be given.
No, but what I'm saying is, I don't think we'd be going, it's outrageous that one was given and that one was given.
Yeah, true, yeah, exactly, yeah. But with the third one, we've had one or two decisions like this over this season. That third one in particular that I just, you know, want to drill down on, it's like, how on earth has somebody watched that and thought, no, that's not a penalty? Is there an angle that we haven't seen?
Yeah.
Because like that I just find baffling.
But
I really do. But
all of the hoo-ha and the nonsense kind of takes away from the people actually should be looking at the actual decision itself. But they've been so silly on Twitter.
It's tedious, isn't it? The whole, like, is something a penalty or isn't it a penalty? To the point where I'm like, should we just get rid of them altogether?
Yeah.
just only have them, like, in shootouts.
But
I wonder if people in the VAR room get like that as well. You get a bit like decision blind. Yeah. And it's like something that's really obvious like that suddenly doesn't look like a penalty for some reason.
It should be like air traffic controllers swap every 20 minutes. Sort of
thing. Yeah.
They lose kind of spatial awareness.
Like, I mean, maybe. I mean,
the instrument flying.
They are human beings, for crying out loud.
They are human beings.
It's just this Clattenburg. We've seen his little lizard tongue.
I'm talking about the VAR.
Oh, I see.
Chaps. Now, Nuno did say after the game that if we were in another country, we will start talking about conspiracy. Well, thank goodness we're not going to talk about it. Thank goodness we're in this country things right.
I'm not usually one who gives the English Premier League props, but I mean, we don't have owners waving guns around on the touchline. Do you know what I mean?
And more the pity,
It is the best league in the world because the referees are treated with a little bit of respect.
Well, do you know what, actually? Many people have said that one of the reasons why there is so much betting on the Premier League is... Obviously, it's the general interest in the league, but it is seen as a clean league.
Yes.
There are other leagues, as we've known in the past, like Serie A, for example, which is a huge league, where it's been demonstrably proved and investigated that there were things going on, of course.
Right, yeah.
So, like, it is seen as that. And so I think, you know, as I say, like, when all said and done, you know, unfortunately, human error can pop in, even if it's bleeding obvious.
Maybe we should put Juventus in the league for a season, just so we all appreciate what we've got.
Yeah, yeah, I think they'd be really
They've
up for that.
They've got 12 players on. No, we don't.
Juve would be like, we'll only join if you rename it the Super League, and we get the win. We get the moral victory. Yeah. So, but in terms of the actual football played and so on, a couple of nice goals. Proper daisy cutter from Gay to score, and then and McNeil doing what he does every now and then. So a crucial win for Everton. Of course, and down the bottom it is looking very, very tight.
Wait.
Yes, and of course there were big wins for Brentford and for Burnley. I mean, surprising that Luton were hammered like that, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. It was a bit of a shame, really, because I obviously had us as the prediction for the weekend. I thought they were going to do it at home, but these things happen.
Like the roof collapsed, didn't it? They've been working really, really hard this season.
That's why they got a new stadium on the go.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I mean, if you take the points deductions out of the league, the bottom three would be adrift now.
And Forest would still be in there.
They would, but the bottom three start to look a bit more adrift, it starts to look a bit harder, and it's a truer reflection of the distance they have to make up. And I think maybe just a long season in which they've had to sort of battle and fight for every ball just caught up with Luton here.
True. I mean, I tell you, Burnley, though, you know, obviously hammered Sheffield United, who, I mean, it would be the greatest of all the great escapes if they manage to get out, which they won't. But Burnley have given themselves a fighting chance, to their credit. You know, in their last six games, they've only lost once. So I still think they'll go. But there is something to play for there.
Yeah, you sort of hope with Luton, though, that, like, they were battered, but I mean, it's two very direct sides. I hope Luton don't kind of poop their pants a little bit and sort of go, right, let's be a little bit more defensive, a little bit cleverer at things. I love watching Luton. And the only way they're going to get out is by playing that direct style, I think. Yeah.
When all said and done, they've lost four in the last five, which is worse than Sheffield United.
All right, I'll change what I just said.
But if you enjoy watching them, that's it. But I mean, the fifth goal scored by Brentford, it was a proper fuck off back down at the Championship. Do you know what I mean? Like, it really was like such a dabby. It was almost as if it was the 10th and a 10-0 win against a sort of a San Marino or something like that. So they've got to pick themselves up.
They've got Wolves next, and Wolves have so many injuries that they named a 15-year-old on the bench on Saturday. So
right.
Blimey.
They'll have to target 3 points there.
Indeed they will. Gentlemen, I'd like to end the Premier League chat with Crystal Palace 5, West Ham United 2. I love it. I love it when a team who doesn't score that many goals just suddenly goes, you know what, today we're going to give our fans a treat. I remember the last year in the first half of the season when Fulham battered Forest 5-0, and then we were like, let's do this again, beat West Ham 5-0. Yeah. And suddenly you think, this is what we do.
Yeah. I'm hoping it's going to tire Palace out, because I've got a ticket for Palace Newcastle on Wednesday. I'm hoping I'll be able to see them win.
Yeah, no, I'm sure the neutral will definitely be supporting Newcastle in that game. great win for Palace. They absolutely destroyed West Ham. 3-0 up inside 20 minutes.
Yeah. Eze had so much time to do his bicycle kick.
Bicycle kick.
When Thomas Brolin did that bicycle kick on the advert, he had that amount of time. not marked at all.
What a lovely callback or reference.
It's the only ones I've got. Yes, 90s.
Right, I appreciate it. I mean, really, obviously, all joking aside, my highlight of the weekend was that Eze bicycle kick. It was...
Didn't need to do it.
It was... It's like he was an Avenger or something.
He's magic.
It was just like...
he's such a joy to watch.
He's brilliant. His overall performance was magnificent.
Getting on that plane.
But you're right, Peter. Like, the way you think, is he going to sort of jump and leap? It's just like, pow!
Get him on that plane, because he looked like a propeller at that moment.
Yeah.
Speaking of 90s references, the film American Beauty, there was an errant carrier bag sort of floating around pitch in the opening couple of goals.
And that was just so beautiful.
This is so beautiful. Yeah, just stop watching it.
It was just symbolic of the beautiful performance.
They did waft a lot of goals into the West Ham net, didn't they?
But when you say his header was very brave, the first one.
Very brave.
Set the tone, I think. They outfought West Ham there.
And I mean, West Ham obviously would have played late in the week. And it was a hell of a...
That caught up with them for sure.
Yeah.
They just looked off the pace, really, didn't they? Mm. Palace just look quicker to everything, faster.
They've got a lot of footballers in their squad where things catch up to them, aren't they? Because of their age.
Yeah, you say that. I don't think it's that much of an excuse. And neither did David Moyes. Today was so bad, I can hardly put it into words. I'm embarrassed to sit here. Now, I thought when I saw that, it was Erik ten Hag. But no, he said, I'll be speaking on behalf of the team based on how they performed. I'm the manager. I've not had many teams who have played like that in my career.
See, this is the problem, though, isn't it?
A little bit of responsibility towards the end.
This is not the first time this season. They've Villa put four past them. Newcastle did as well. Obviously, they've been battered by Fulham and Arsenal as well. And when things don't go well for West Ham, they tend to go really, really badly. There's a sense that they sort of don't turn up. And the most damning thing about it is that David Moyes doesn't seem to be able to do anything about it, doesn't seem to understand why it's happened when it happens.
Yeah.
So then it just happens again.
Yeah.
It must be infuriating.
Yeah, I mean, West Ham, the only sides that have conceded more goals than them in the league this season are Luton, Burnley and Sheffield United. I mean, it's astonishing. They've conceded 63. Now, yes, they're in eighth, of course, and on paper, blah, 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 you know, decent season and so on. I don't want to, you know, patronise West Ham fans and so on. But the amount of goals they conceded, it is quite startling. Mm. It really, really is. I mean, they've scored a fair few, to be fair to them, but still, you're right, Jim, they have been battered a number of times this season.
Two brilliant own goals in this game.
Oh, my goodness.
Two of the most fun own goals you'll see.
Yeah.
Emerson one seems just a really silly, avoidable mix-up.
Yeah.
But the Tyrick Mitchell one.
Well, so some people are calling it a Mitchell own goal. Some are calling it a Henderson own goal. Mitchell shouldn't be, you know, having any of the blame there.
Shouldn't be shooting from there.
Can we all just agree to disagree that David Moyes is a defensive manager?
He is a defensive manager.
And always has
manager.
Been. He's very proud of that fact.
But what do you think of Dean Henderson thinking, you know what, third choice England goalkeeper, he is up for grabs.
I've not grabbed it.
That did not happen.
Play out the back with my feet.
Oh, that did not happen the way I thought it was going to.
Poor old Deeney. Mm. Poor old Deeney. Now, this is perhaps a rare example of what's good for your club is actually... what's good for the Ramble is good for your club.
Yeah.
We want Elise, Eze and Mateta to be playing on the pitch more often because it's just so damn
Definitely.
Good when they do that.
Swashbuckling stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So we're with your Palace. Mm,
yeah.
You're a rare example.
Not Wednesday night, but...
A moment for Adam Wharton as well was hit the ground running.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really good for them.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think the new manager at Palace, he's done all right. He's done all right. I mean, obviously... Took over in sort of difficult circumstances. I mean, they're now 11 points clear.
They're putting in the kind of performances that you sort of go, if they do something, you know, get to a cup final or whatever, you do sort of think, well...
That is rare for Palace to...
Yeah, but if they do something that you would probably say was kind of overachieving, they will say that it was the previous manager who put the building blocks
I don't,
in.
I
or
don't,
maybe the previous manager.
I don't think they'd... What, we go all the way back to Pards, do we?
Yeah.
I think...
He got to
enough,
a final.
He did. My goodness, nearly won it. But yeah, I think Palace, they want to be joining that sort of pack this season of sort of Bournemouth, Fulham, who solid mid-table. Like there's no danger going down, of course. You know,
I can just hear the heart fluttering, can't I? Just the heart beating away. Whoa.
Yeah, I appreciate you lads. We've come this far in the show and you haven't pointed out that my prediction of Fulham beating Liverpool was wrong. And thank you for your good grace.
Yeah, but Liverpool still didn't look that convincing.
They are, Peter. So
there you go. All right.
How many extra goals do Fulham get because of that then?
I think it's at least two, Marcus. At least two.
At least two. Yeah. I'd still
was
be wrong.
Was it you that Trent Alexander-Arnold was shushing in the crowd?
I don't sit up that end, but I would be flattered if it was, Jim. Yeah, that was an unnecessary celebration.
Well,
shushing people who are, let's be honest, are fairly quiet.
Well,
we
don't know what was said, do we?
We don't know what was said.
It's not quite a Vardy one.
It wasn't
you never
as bad
know. There might
as...
have been someone giving him some stick. I always try and like think, because it always looks unnecessary, doesn't it, when a player does that? But
you
have to remember that there are grown men shouting at them the whole time as well.
Yeah, no, Fettler, I've no problem. It wasn't as bad as Lopez's goal for Barcelona at the Bernabeu, where he leaps over the advertising hoardings to stand in front of the whole of the Real Madrid fans. watching the highlights going, what are you doing?
And he had a stiffy.
And he did.
He didn't.
Or Jude Bellingham might have done with that winning goal. Fair play to him, doing a lovely little hoedown celebration. Mm. But fair play to Trent. I had a lovely view of it. As soon as it left his boot, I was like, oh.
that stayed hit, hasn't it?
Yeah. Mind you, Fulham get themselves back in the game.
Welcome back.
You never know. And then a bad pass. And again, though, it's like, Gravenberch just... Yeah, that is quality. That's what you pay for.
So were you sat next to Jose Mourinho or not?
Do you know what? I was sat... Yeah, not. I don't sit that far from Mourinho. I looked up and I was like, bloody Jose Mourinho. Mm.
Bloody Jose Mourinho.
There's always someone in there, isn't it? The last time I went with you, Brian Cox was there.
Mick Jagger.
In, yeah, we didn't Logan spot, Roy. Not
yeah, space, the scientist space, man. Space Cox. ground Cox, not Space Cox.
Not Space Cox. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, Marie, what I loved is I clocked Mourinho was in there. Right. And at half time, when the players went off down the tunnel, everyone in the Cottage Pavilion goes in for some quite fantastic half time food, as I may say, having experienced it myself. Other than Mourinho, he just sat out there. He was the only one left and he was just staring into space. And I was like, he wants to be seen.
Yeah.
Like he just does.
Hell of a presence.
Oh, my goodness. Left 15 minutes before the final whistle. I thought, oh, you don't want to be caught in the traffic at the end of it, though.
It's too easy to go to Fulham, isn't it? That's why you get all these celebrities at Fulham.
Yeah, there's a few.
In the same with
come on, there'd be more at like Arsenal and Chelsea.
Hartlepool United always do the last away game of the season. They always go down en masse and they dress up.
Tons of celebrities at Hartlepool United.
Well, Jeff Stelling dressed up as one of the Blues Brothers for the whole thing.
Yeah, there's one.
They're one famous fan. Wow, what a celebrity draw they are.
And but it was at Dorking. Do you know what I mean? So it's like,
hey, near Minecraft,
wasn't exactly. Exactly. So it's easy to get to, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah,
and Hartlepool.
Indeed, it is. It really is. Yeah. So Mourinho. I mean, I know that Liverpool are looking for a new manager.
That wouldn't be good.
Has he just gone to start that rumor? Because he's been doing that, hasn't he?
He's
popping up in Barcelona and anywhere where it's really unuseful for him to be, he suddenly appeared.
Like bad, like
the least helpful, the better.
Yeah, exactly.
A landlord inspecting mould. Oh. Maldinho's here.
Someone summoned Mourinho. Who did it? Who did it? And there he is.
Who did the incantation?
Oh, dearie me. Yeah. Look, Fulham don't need him. Okay. I'm enjoying the football at Fulham.
Right.
He knows the area.
He knows the area.
He knows the club.
He does, yeah. He probably lives in the area as well. Oh, anyway, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Join us on Wednesday for more Ramble goodness and for crying out loud. FootballRambleLive.com is the place to get your tickets on Friday.
It's the biggest ever show we've ever done.
Ever. But of course, if you can't wait, join the Ramble Patreon to get them on Wednesday.
Has Pete got a gun license? Well, we'll find out, won't we?
This is news to us as well, so I guess we will.
I'm going to do some...
Jim was, as I was as well, genuinely panicked.
I'm going to shoot a crossbow through an apple off Jim's head.
What is it?
It's going to be spectacular.
Is there a bylaw in the London Palladium if you do that?
Yes,
and you shoot
exactly,
a Scotsman with a crossbow?
It's allowing you to smoke on stage. I'm going to be smoking so many cigarettes. It's going to be brilliant.
Yes. Cigarettes.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes, patron, get involved. Follow us on X, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble, and do follow us on Spotify as well. Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
FootballRambleLive.com.
Yeah, and thank you, FootballRambleLive.com. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.